Signum crucis, inimicis nostris, libera nos, Deus noster, in nomine Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I beg your pardon for my sins, and the grace to spend this time of prayer fruitfully. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. With your permission, Sovereign Lord, in the Blessed Sacrament, today is a great day, Saint John Paul II. So we have a powerful intercession in heaven. The gospel today tells us how Jesus said to his disciples, I have come to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were blazing already. What an amazing impact these words had in the heart of Saint Jose Maria at the beginning of his vocation. I have come to bring fire. And he felt compelled to live for Jesus, centered in Jesus. Absolutely. Totally. And he maintained this attitude until the end. That's why he is a saint. Similarly, Saint John Paul II is the Pope that went to more places in the world, that met more people, that wrote more wisely and prudently. There is a baptism I must still receive, and how great is my distress till it is over. This baptism refers to his death on the cross. We have to accompany Jesus. In our baptism, we were baptized. When we were baptized, when you were baptized, you died for the things of the flesh, and you resurrected with Jesus to the things of the Spirit, to what is permanent. There is a radical difference between sin and happiness. And we, right now, we are making up our mind. We are defining ourselves, defining the direction of our life. It takes a lifetime to finish that definition, that determination. What direction am I going? Am I joining Jesus Christ every day? Do I join him in his death? Not by dying, mean dying death, but with little sacrifices throughout the day, applying yourself to what you have to do. Do you suppose that I'm here to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. How is it that the Lord is talking about division? What kind of division he means? Peace is harmony. There is peace in us when we choose, when we decide ourselves for what our mind tells us. First, our mind is in agreement with God. Second, our material choices are in agreement to what we think is the right thing to do. How many people know that these things I am going to do is wrong, and they still do, even ourselves? So you see, there is no peace because there is no agreement, because there is no harmony to between what is inside, what you think is right, and what is outside, what you actually do. This is the kind of peace that the Lord is talking about. The peace between man's choices, what man does actually, and what he thinks he has to do, because God has given you that light, what is morally right. Don't worry, it's a process. We have to aim at it constantly. And what kind of division? That division, that radical division between God and emptiness, because there is no another God, God A, God B, no. There is God, and on the other side, nothing, emptiness, darkness. And a human being has to decide himself or herself, has to determine himself. Am I for God or what? Because to be for no God is not to join another army. It's simply to destroy oneself. Do I really want to destroy myself forever? Do I see that there's a radical division? That's why the Lord continues saying, for from now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two and two against three, and so on and so forth. Meaning, it's a personal choice. You cannot say, okay, we in the Philippines. No, it's I, you, right now, in front of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, whom we adore. We adore with profound reverence. And we thank him for being here with him. And we ask for his pardon for our sins. It's a division. It's a decision that you have to do personally. What do I want to do? What do I want to decide? Once you have found out, means once you have realized that this God, I have found him. But it's me. You have to find him. You. And each person has to determine, to decide. Let's refresh our determination. Yes, I know. Determination of each one of us and of all of us to follow Jesus. Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. For me, my greatest joy is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. It refers right now in this mortal life to be in the house of the Lord, in God's family. But even later on, that will be the definitive living in the house of the Lord, actually living in the house of your Father as a child of God. This is the meaning of these words in the gospel. That division that we have to solve, each one in ourselves, in our life. And we, the Lord puts it to the point of saying, well, even licit things, even the good things, but not good enough, if they enter in conflict with God, you still have to choose God. If your father moves you away from God, normally it never happened, right? But the Lord is talking about possible theoretical case, no? You cannot choose father, mother against God. When, if ever, enter in conflict with God, which, as I say, seldom will happen. Yet, we are human. How often, yes, our mind tells us, I want to be for God. I want to be in the team of God. I want to be family of God, to share his table, as we are going to do now in the Mass, to be fed with his food, which is himself. Yes, we are for it, but we are human still, and we are besieged with weakness on all sides. And even if our mind is for Jesus, sometimes we fall into the temptation of taking it easy or to be surprised with the effort that it implies. A person, if this person is not watchful, prayerful, may even get sad when one realizes that to be for Christ, to follow Jesus, one has to exert effort. One has to deny himself, and the person gets sad. You know the name of this? Tepidity, lukewarmness. What is tepidity? When a person gets sad, gets upset, gets in ease, when the person realizes that he has to deny himself, he has to put aside this, I would like to, but that's not right. I'm attracted to this, but I know it's immoral. So you see, we have to run the race, but within the racing track, within the circuit. It could be easier ways, usually they aren't, but suppose that that's a shortcut, but it's across a rice field which is flooded. You cannot go through it. Well, you should not complain. And why it had to be the hard terrain? Well, because this is morally right. Jesus has come to bring us to happiness, to bring us a love that lasts forever, not a temporary thing, not something that satisfies you for 15 minutes and later on, how much bitterness. Jesus brings us a love which has to penetrate everything, has to pervade everything, like fire. That's why he says, I have come to bring fire to the earth. First, within ourselves, a love that had to be present in every manifestation of our life. And then it overflows onto the other. Charity, fraternity, a love that goes on to the others. But the source of it is our union with God, not the other way around. If God is not present in our life, our concern for the others will be philanthropy, like the Masons and Freethinkers. They talk about philanthropy, that is concern for the other, but from a purely human point of view. It won't last, I assure you, and it's fake. Why should I? Because if you omit the reason, because God is my Father, because this person is my brother, my sister, you have to add that explanation, because we are one family. Jesus has come to bring us this love, which is the opposite of temerity. Kind of love that is above any human love. That's why he says, if you love your parents, your brothers, the love that they have to be chosen instead of put aside. If ever it enters in collision, in conflict with other kind of love, the love that is very demanding, the love of Christ. Very consoling, these words of Mother Teresa of Calcutta. You have heard it from me. Seems that the group of American ladies decided to go to Calcutta and accompany Mother Teresa in her mission, gathering the people in the streets, the sick, the dying, the ketong, and they spent 3 days there. At the end, they had to go back, and they were delighted. So they say farewell to Mother Teresa, and they told her, well, Mother, we had to leave. We would like to be here for an entire month, but you see, we are married women, we have a husband, and you, Mother, you know, Mother, a husband can be very demanding. And Mother Teresa answered, oh, yes, I know. My husband is very, very demanding. Okay? So, you see, she felt demanded by the love of God, by the love of Jesus. Do I feel that demand? If you don't feel it, means that there's nothing between you and him. You cannot talk about us. There's no demand, there's no relationship, there's no obligation. Each one on his own. Now, it's good that you feel the pressure, but it's also necessary that you don't become sad when you realize of it, that you don't fall into that sadness, because it will turn you into slow-moving person to accomplish what the Lord is expecting from you. So that sadness will work against you. That's why Saint Jose Maria said that sadness is the ally of the enemy. It's the sadness that leads to temerity, to put off your obligation when you realize that they're a little bit difficult to accomplish, that demand effort from you, that demand put aside other preferences, perhaps legitimate, but inferior to Jesus. Temerity is opposed to that divine fire that burns in the heart of Jesus. Then you have to identify yourself with the heart of Jesus, your heart, his heart. Am I trying to identify myself with the heart of Jesus? To love what he loves, to reject what he doesn't want. Put away from me, Lord, whatever separates me from you. Temerity comes when a person, theoretically, in principle, wants to follow Jesus, but without effort. That's temerity. You know, many years ago, already died, my sister visited me in the Philippines. We were going around. And we went to the market in Green Hills in Unimart. That time, that was the only Green Hills. The other one was Talahib Hills, the present one. And there were many stalls there selling pearls, selling watches. So we approached one, amazing, the best brands of watches, luxury watch. Those that only the models and the champions in sports and the politicians wear. So Patek Philippe, Rolex, really expensive. And she asked, how much that? She's not Filipina, so she pointed with the finger instead of the lips. So I told her, don't do that, they might be bother. But anyhow, he said, how much this one, Patek Philippe? He says, 100 pesos. So she bought one. Oh, so he paid 100 pesos. The next day, he asked, how is it? Your newly acquired Patek Philippe. It delays 15 minutes every day. Was not even good to, why? Because she paid 100 pesos. What can you expect from a Patek Philippe 100 pesos worth? This is stupidity. You see, you don't pay, you don't get a true Patek Philippe. You want to be happy forever, you have to pay for it. You have to correspond to the love of God. Living a life of the Lord expects from you the life of a child of God. But how often we want to put together things that cannot be together. Following Christ and this and that. If a person attempts to do that, soon she will have yielding. Okay, I knew I had to do this, pero halana later on. Tomorrow, not this time, I'm very tired. But I promise, next time I will. You see, this is stupidity. And the person keeps on yielding, and abandoning an effective struggle to improve. This person easily yields to venial sin. And she said, total is a venial sin, little by little. And prayer and dealing with God becomes, well, nothing. And this person maintains himself in a state of mediocrity, that is, not doing anything effective. This person is not seeking a true self-giving to God. May not happen to us, never, never. Let's renew our desires to burn with that fire of love, which is the opposite of stupidity. Not once. No, yes, it's a decision now, but it's a decision that had to be a permanent disposition in us to be for Christ, to fight for Him, to accept whatever the Lord puts on our path. You see, a stupidity does not come from, you know, a fall. A person may have a fall, but if that person realizes, repents, gets up, and continue fighting, that person does not become tepid. That person is for Christ. This is what I mean. But if this person abandons herself And this person does not mind that state, delays that repentance. Little by little, the person is separating from God. This person is too concerned, not going too far. I cannot exaggerate too much. This person remains in the limit, in the border. Just what is sufficient not to be utterly in mortal sin. This person doesn't fight. This person falls frequently into venial sin. But it is because he has fallen into tepidity. The mind is like darkened. And piety becomes uncomfortable. The norms, the act of piety, well, sometimes he does it, but as something uncomfortable, something that you have to do it because it's a custom, but there is no life in there, there is no heart in there is no fire in there. Prayer becomes vague, occasional. Let's begin. Let's begin again and again. Let's renew ourselves to put aside tepidity. No matter what, don't be afraid. God is your Father, not your auditor. God is your Father. Go to Him right now. Lord, I'm here. Extend your hand to me. I'm going to be sitting down at your table. You are coming to me. You are going to send your Holy Spirit. Insert in me your love. Flood my heart with your love. A love that will launch me with new impetus, with new desire, with a renewed disposition to follow you, to be faithful for you forever and ever, with enthusiasm, with joy, singing, without finding enemies. Only enemy is sin. On the contrary, considering everyone a co-worker, a companion along the road, whom I have to help and I have to encourage to continue running. Think of Our Lady. Think of her. Do you imagine the house of Nazareth? Totally magulo. Dirty clothes here and there. Cobwebs all over. The food is not on time. You see, Our Lady had to do very, very normal things, very little things. But how would have she lived all these little things? Today, 12, St. John Paul II. You know that he put his hands on me here, on the head, pressing down, down, and he ordained me. Then afterward, after in a moment of the ceremony, I went up the throne of the Pope, the little steps, and the Pope there, you go in front of the Pope, and I told him, Omnes cum Petro ad Jesum per Mariam, always with Peter to Jesus through Mary. And he smiled at me and he gave me abrazo. Okay, because he had a great devotion to Our Lady. Our Lady is the shortcut to Jesus, but always with Peter, with the church. And he was Peter. Then I stepped two, step three, went down back. And then the first person down below the foot of the steps was Don Alvaro. He also embraced me. So please help me. Help me, because I have been embraced by two saints. Okay, so big obligation. So help me to correct each one of us. So Saint John Paul II and Alvaro embraces you from heaven when you receive communion with Jesus. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations you have communicated to me this meditation. I beg your help in performing them. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.